This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Good everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. As always, I'm Jeremy Lopez, and I'm so glad you guys decided to join with me again this week, and hopefully every week and every week to come in the future. So I'm excited, first of all, because this month, my hot off the press monthly book club happens to be a book called Beliefs, Make You or Break You, and it also is accompanied by a workbook. Now, I want to say this as well, before I continue in the podcast. If any of you have gotten this book and workbook, because I know a lot of you have contacted their offices and said, this book and workbook has totally, radically changed my life. And the reason why is because anyone who has this book and workbook, you will walk away totally changed, reevaluating your life and your beliefs and your traditions, because we understand in our life that beliefs are the top-notch, number one thing that drives us in every single area of our lives. Beliefs drives us as far as who we're going to spend time with, if they believe like us versus they don't believe like us. Beliefs are going to drive us to every point of our lives, even in areas of health. There are a lot of people within traditions that don't believe in medication. A lot of people in traditions of beliefs don't believe in, you know, transference of blood. Maybe if they need a blood transfusion, you know, in the hospital. You know, you have a lot of different people, so you might say, well, I'm not one of those crazy people, Jeremy. Well, the key thing is, you got to remember, what if you have a different, we're not going to use the word crazy, we're going to use the word different. What if you have a different belief, but yet you don't realize it's actually different? Are you with me? What if you were that person who actually was raised by people that maybe had a little bit of dysfunctionality? Because the truth is, there's not one person on earth who's not dysfunctional. Can I get an amen? Because every one of us have some type of dysfunctionality where we just sort of, we don't really get it. There's a lot of things in life we don't get. So there's a little bit of dysfunctionality in all of us, right? So my point being with this is I want every one of you to go right now, get and order the book, Beliefs, and the workbook. Because this is going to challenge you to know, why do I believe what I believe? And I didn't realize that was embedded in me. And I didn't understand that belief I thought was good actually is not the best in the world. Because any belief, and here's what I'll say to you about this. Any belief or tradition that you have, period, that excludes anyone on this planet is not the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. Any tradition or belief that excludes you, makes you feel better, makes you look better, makes you sound better, makes you feel as if you are better than anyone else, you're not in a good belief system according to the kingdom of God. So I want every one of us to take a look subconsciously at what we believe and why we believe it. So I really want to challenge every one of you to go to the website, identitynetwork.net, and order the Beliefs book that also is accompanied by the workbook. You guys are going to totally love it. And trust me, there's so many things embedded in each one of us that we don't realize is there. So it's good and healthy for us to re-examine our beliefs. Because once again, beliefs and traditions, guess what? Literally run the entire game of our lives. All right? So today's podcast, I wanted to talk to you guys about the pie of your life. The pie of your life, P-I-E, the pie of your life. Many people have looked back in their life and they've said, you know, we've heard so many times where people have used maybe pieces of the pie as examples. You know, you see people who, motivational speakers, who they draw a circle and they have pieces of the pie. They say, this represents this part of your life and this represents this part of your life. And the whole pie is something we've got to, you know, keep always balanced and re-examining over and over again. I completely agree. I think there's a lot of areas of our lives that we really can't allow to suffer, because one area of your life that causes you to suffer means that other areas of your life you're putting too much emphasis on that actually could lead to, you know, a little bit of dysfunctionality because of the fact every joint supplies. Now you might say, well, isn't that talking about everybody in the church? Well, it is, but the truth is there's typology within everything, types and shadows and revelational things that actually are embedded within the Bible. So you're going to have three and four multiple, if not many, revelational things that are going to come out of one scripture, right? And so when we say every joint supplies, we should look at it this way. What if every piece of the puzzle supplies? which means every part of the piece of that puzzle, every piece of that pie, actually is something that you've got to remember that every piece of it supplies a need to you, supplies something within your life you desperately need. So with that being said, I want to present to you seven, the perfect number. We always say the number of God. Seven things that are pieces of the pie that I want you to sort of just to keep and bring to your consciousness today to be able to just really realize that all these things, every piece of this pie I'm going to mention to you guys today, are very important. And every one of them needs to be examined and re-examined over and over again. And always keep a check in your spirit to see and ask yourself, am I really evaluating every piece of the pie of my life? Because you don't want any of them to suffer, because every piece supplies the need for you to have a balanced, well-balanced life and a very healthy life. So 7 points I want to bring to you today of this piece of the pie is one, financially. Is it important that we focus on our finances? Absolutely. The economic system and structure of your life is very important, because every bit of your finances is going to determine on your happiness at times. Now, don't get me wrong when I say this, because finances do determine sometimes a person's happiness. It doesn't determine someone's joy, because God gives us joy. The Bible says unspeakable joy and full of glory, correct? But finances actually do bring us a sense of happiness, because let's just face it. Have you ever found a person who lives in a home where their attic caved in, the roof caved in, it's raining in on their house, rains in on the couch where they're sitting, and the house is about to fall apart, it should be condemned, and yet they owe $300,000 to the bank, and they have a car that actually doesn't work. It's like sitting in the grass, growing weeds around it, and no one's going to look at them and they're going to look at themselves and say, man, I am so extremely happy. Now, they might be joyful with the joy of the Lord, because they understand that finances does not determine their joy. But truthfully, folks, money can bring a sense of happiness. And there's nothing wrong with that. What makes it wrong is the love of money, the worship of money, where money becomes your idol, where money determines your ultimate joy in the kingdom of God, your ultimate spiritual place of habitation, where you know you're at peace and rest and strength no matter what happens financially. That's true. But you have to also remember, a person who has a house paid off, a nice home, maybe a fairly good car to drive, or maybe, you know, some money, extra money in the bank for maybe to take their kids out to dinner tonight somewhere without maybe going to McDonald's, or even maybe taking their wife on a date occasionally without having to feel like, you know, do I have enough dollars to take them to the movies, you know? I mean, the key thing is, you know, there's a happiness that goes along with knowing I am financially secure. And that's a good feeling. So I want every one of you to understand this one thing as well. I know recently there was a major Christian evangelist who happens to be a really good friend of mine, actually. We did a couple of meetings together years ago. I won't mention his name. He's got long hair, really great guy. That tends to be a little extreme at times, but he, you know, denounced a prosperity gospel, and, you know, because of something someone else said. And you know, and I hear this a lot of people saying, denouncing the quote-unquote prosperity gospel. And to be very honest with you, I don't really know what that means, because I was raised in the Word of Faith movement, you know, what most people call name it and claim it, which went to an extremity, you know, that little pendulum swing on the cloth that goes extreme to one end to the other, and I was raised in that, but yet there was a balance that throughout the years it begins to balance out and mature in, to where we understand it's not you just say it and you have it, it's not about God wants you filthy rich, it has nothing to do with that kind of stuff, but it does include the fact that if you work hard, a man that doesn't work doesn't eat, the Bible says. So the Bible even tells you if you work, you're going to eat, which means you're going to have pretty much a good portion. You're not going to starve. You know, the Bible talks about many things. I wish above all things you'd prosper and be in good health, even as you're so prosperous. So there's nothing wrong with God letting you know that, you know what, if you work hard at life, you have the chance, the potential to make good money. You know, and God is not doesn't show favoritism to people. So I don't believe in a prosperity gospel, as they say, because I think they actually conjure up and create their own term to that. But the truth is, there's no such thing as a prosperity gospel. The gospel is good news. And whatever the good news looks like to whoever needs the revelation in their life to grow, maybe in an area that's not, we'll say, prospering as far as maybe their health or maybe their joy. You know, you can be poverty in sadness. And you can be rich in joy. So, am I against abundance and prosperity? Absolutely not. And I don't care what shape, form, or fashion it comes in. If it comes in a level of joy, if it comes in a level of health, if it comes in a level of money, if it comes in a level of grace, If it comes in a level of maybe compassion for people. I know a lot of people who are we'll say that we'll use the term the world uses, filthy rich. Wealthy because they're compassionate to people and they go the extra mile for people. So when I hear the word, the phrase prosperity gospel, I just think to myself, such immaturity, because of the fact that there's no such thing. The gospel is good news and it's going to house its own revelation to the whosoever wills. Whoever needs what they need in their life to feel empowered and to feel the abundance or the wealth value of who they are, no matter what that looks like or no matter what form it comes to them in, that God wants it to come to them in, you know what? That's their business. They work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. So, do I believe in a health gospel, wealth gospel, a salvation gospel, a compassion gospel? I believe in it all because you know what? The gospel is the good news no matter how it looks to whoever it needs to go to. All right? So, with that being said, move in your financial structure. Don't be afraid to build a successful life to where you have enough money that you can maybe put something in the bank and live maybe a productive life to where you can have a little bit of happiness and have the external and the internal joy, I should say, of God, but also have a little bit of the external of a little bit of abundance of money. It's okay. It's really okay. The next piece of the pie is the physical part of your health, which means this. I want every one of you to start challenging yourself this year. Challenge yourself today. Today's the day of salvation. Challenge yourself today to start eating healthy. You know, when I look at my body, I'm not the best, I'm not the perfect eater. I'm not, but I do try to eat the best I can. I try my best to not consume so many processed foods. And do I have to have the FDA to say, oh, you're allowed to eat this? No. You know, a person who relies on, well, the government approves it. Really, as a person, don't take this the wrong way, guys, that are just really a puppet that allow the system to run them. It's a person who has no maturity because the truth is, you know, if the FDA approved that, you know, you can drink cyanide because a certain amount of it, you know, is okay for you, I guarantee you there'd be thousands of people who say, well, they approved it. Why not? My key thing is this. Who cares what the FDA says? Who cares what the government says? I don't rely on them. I rely on God and my own consciousness to read and say, you know what? But it's just a known fact, and any part of my language, any dummy would know this, and that is, you know what, processed foods are just not good for you. They're not real foods. They're not organic foods. And I want to train my children, not starting off with eating brownies and sugar and cookies. I want to train them to have a taste for healthy foods because I want to live a long life. And folks, let me also tell you this. You can't go to God begging Him in prayer all the time when you're not eating healthy. Lord, heal my body. I'm gaining overweight. It's the devil. No, it's you because you can't keep your mouth closed. Come on, folks. Can I get a witness? Can you hear me? Grace, grace, grace. You know, but let's be honest. Start eating healthy foods. Eat healthy foods. If you have a medical condition, you know what? We praise God that God's going to heal people that have medical conditions. I understand what that's like. Good Lord, I know what it's like. And we give grace to people like that. But there's a lot of us like myself and maybe like you who says, you know what, Jeremy, you're right. I can pull back a little bit as far as knowing that I don't need to eat so many calories a day. If they do say you recommend 2,000 calories a day, then you know what? Let's limit it to that. I don't need to eat anymore. And the truth is, folks, it's really not that hard to lose weight. It's really not. I understand some people have conditions and medical conditions, but I'm going to say this to you. Try your best to do the best you can do and let God do the rest. And let, because God's God of compassion and grace, He knows what your body goes through. But you can't expect God to help you if you don't help yourself. You can't expect God to help you if you're not really relying on the power for you to begin to really see the fact that I need to start eating healthier foods, organic foods, good vegetables, good fruits that I need in my body. So you know what, folks? Let's push away the calories. Let's push away the processed foods. Let's push away, for once in our lives, folks, let's be sons and daughters of God who can say, I don't need a government to tell me anything. I'm smarter. I'm 10 times wiser than the children of this world, the Bible says. I'm pushing it away today. I need to live a long life. I can't claim a scripture that God says, I'm going to satisfy you with a long life if I don't take care of this temple and feed it what it needs not what it's requiring, but what it truly needs. Because I'm the one in charge, not my body. Amen? Because I want everyone, I love every one of you. I want to see every one of you live a prosperous life in your health area. Second, the third thing I want to bring to your attention that I believe will also help every one of you out. The third thing is spiritual. I want everyone to begin to take the piece of the pie and say, you know what? I check my spirit every day. I want to be able to live a spiritual life. Whatever that looks like to you and for you, hey, you know what? So be it. As long as your spiritual life, like I put in my book, Beliefs, as long as your spiritual life is at a place where it's bringing you a healthiness in your belief system, and it's causing you to love all people and accept and embrace the Christ within people, and begin to understand how good and amazing and loving God is, and how compassionate and full of mercy and full of grace and full of just love God is. That's a healthy belief. And I want each one of you today to keep a check in your spirit about your spiritual walk, and really get down to that place where your spirit is truly being fed and loved by yourself and by the Lord. Because the truth is, without a spiritual walk, you're going to walk in this life lonely. Let's just face reality. And Christ is somebody who is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I believe that for me, Christ is a very healthy avenue, healthy way for me, because I believe who he says he is. And I want to sort of bring to you today, keep a check in your spirit about your spiritual walk. There's nothing better in life than waking up in the morning and saying, you know what, God? I am sensing you, and I'm aware of you. I'm consciously aware that you are here with me, living in me, breathing in me, as me, through me, and you are here today to love on me, as I'm here to love on you, and I'm here to love myself, and I'm here to love on other people. So get together your spirituality. Get your spiritual walk with God. Get it right, folks. Get it to the place where, you know what, it's good for you. It's what you know God has put inside of you. It doesn't have to be what everybody else believes or what everybody else agrees with. We don't care about that. What we care about is you and your intimacy and your relationship of what that should look like. And it's not going to look like everybody else's. And it shouldn't. And that's great. Because nobody wants to be a clone. We don't want what everybody else has. We want what God has for us personally, authentically, organically, genuinely. Because that's the goodness of God, that He sees each one of us as individuals. Each one of us have different revelations. Each one of us have different beliefs. Each one of us have different a variety of things in our heart that maybe we put emphasis on, as far as I want to be able to be an attorney. I want to be able to own my own business as a landscaper. I want to be able to, you know, own my own business and be, you know, this or this or this, whatever. Or I want to be a good manager in my company. Or I want to be the best janitor because I love to serve. The key thing is, you know what? Those are honorable positions. And no matter what you are, no matter who you are, do it as unto the Lord. Because you know what? God gave you that amazing gift to do what you're doing. And it, you know what? And it's powerful. And it was created just for you. So I would say, keep that place where you know in your life where God is, and you know what God's blessed you with. Now, the fourth thing I want to bring to your attention is something I just crossed over in, and that is the fourth thing, which I'm hoping you're writing it down. The fourth thing is the vocation, the professionalism, the vocation in which you know your career, the job you have. I want you to be able to know you're doing that job with all your might, and I want you to take that piece of the pie and say, you know what, I can improve myself, and no matter what that looks like, I can get another raise, and I'm not going to sit here and just name it and claim it. I'm going to attract it, and here's how I'm going to attract it into my life, because law of attraction works, folks. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what the Bible says. And you know what's funny about that is every religion on earth actually imitates that same phrase. It imitates the same belief that if you say it, you speak it, you believe it, it's going to be drawn to you. Isn't that fascinating to think that even other cultures, other religions even adapt to the same belief that, you know what, what's in you is going to come out of you. What is in you, you're going to be able to have that, and you're going to be that. And so I love that sort of way of thinking, because it gives you humans the empowerment by God, who says, you know what, whatever you want to think on and dwell on, you're going to have that in your life. So be prepared. Might be good or bad, but be prepared. So when we deal with careers and job opportunities, I would say this. Believe God maybe for a raise. Believe God for a better position that you need in your life. Why? Not so you can just have more, but that you can be a better blessing to people. You know, there's nothing better in life than having a good boss and having a good manager. There's nothing better, because you know what, you spend more time with them, you know, maybe 8 hours a day, than you do sometimes your own wife or husband or kids, correct? And so, you know what? If you're like me, you're like, man, I spend time with the people I work with all the time. I want to make sure that, you know what, we have a good relationship here, you know, because I see them more than I do my spouse. And so because of that, you want to make sure you're lined up with somebody who actually is a good person, right? And who treats you good and maybe is always looking at you and seeing your creativity and seeing your potential. Well, let's flip it around for a moment. What if that person is you? What if that person is you? What if that person is looking and saying, you know what, like yourself, to say, you know what, I really want to be promoted, not just to have more money, but I want to be promoted because I want to be that manager that treats people good, that loves people, to where those people go home and they say, you know what, I've got such a dynamic manager. They're really loving. They're graceful. They pull the creativity out in me, and they really want to push me to be the best I can be. They don't put me down, but they encourage me, they exhort me, and they truly love me. And there's nothing wrong with loving people. Nothing wrong with loving your employees, you know, or loving your manager or boss. Let's hope you do. Nobody goes home and says, I mean, people go home and say, I hate my boss. I hate my manager. Well, you know what? If you hate them, you can also love them, right? So let's pray that maybe each one of you have become maybe the managers or the bosses, to where those people can go home and feel empowered to say, man, I got the best boss. I got the best manager. And they make me feel so good about myself. And I just see just the love of God all over them because they believe in me. And there's nothing in life better, folks, you know this, than having someone believe in you and truly push you to say you have got it in you to do the very best and to be the very best of life you need to be. So keep in check your vocation. Keep in check your professionalism. And ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want a job anymore. I want a career. I want a career where my giftings are flowing, my joy is flowing, and it might wear me out. People ask me all the time, well, don't you get tired, Jeremy? Like, you're always speaking in podcasts. You're speaking, I'm speaking like at least 6 hours a day, folks, in life coaching, on the days I do life coaching. We are so booked on Tuesdays and Thursdays, almost like a week or two or three sometimes advance, because people saying, people are loving it. They're being ministered to. They're like, please, I need in on the call. I need to have a life coaching session with Jeremy. And I love it. So do I get worn out for doing prophetic words all day long to people, prophesying, hear what God says to me, you know, to tell them that's going to minister life to them or their family or their job or their situation? Yes. Do I spend 6 hours usually on those couple days for life coaching? Yes. Do I spend at least 20 to 30 minutes on podcast a week? Yes. And I do prophetic words, which are hours and hours of me talking as well. And plus I do Facebook Lives and other live videos as well. With all that being said, you know what? Does it wear me out to talk a lot? It really does. But you know, anyone that knows me and my family will tell you Jeremy loves to talk though. But you know what? No matter how tired I get, no matter how much my mouth gets tired, or maybe how much your body gets tired, for you're working out in the sun, or you're working, you know, sitting on a desk, whatever, or your mind gets tired, you know what? There's something at the end of the day that says, you know what? I did good. I was able. I'm tired, but I love what I do because it's my career. You know, here's what I would recommend to each one of you on the career side. If you say to yourself, you know what, Jeremy, I don't do what you do, and you don't, thank God you don't, because I'm just another joint. I'm just another person who's in the collectiveness of the world doing what they need to be doing, and so are you, and that's what's awesome about you. So you know what? If you are a dynamic hairdresser, hey, do it as unto God. Like you style these women and these men's hair as if you look at them as if they're models and they're beauty pageant queens. Make them feel alive. If you own a landscaping business, you do it as unto God, to where everything, every bush you trim, every yard you cut, you do it as if you want that house to look absolutely like a rich mansion, that you know those people are going to be so proud to say, wow, look at this. Look what you've done to my landscape. It looks amazing. Because that's your profession and you love it. If you're that kind of person who loves to do things as far as computer, if you, let's say, for example, you might say, well, Jeremy, I'm an accountant. All I do are numbers all day long. But here's what else you do also. You also work on the systematic ways of numbers for people, to where hopefully you save them money. Maybe you get them a good, you know, tax return at the end of the year to get some money back, you know, when you file their taxes. Or maybe you're doing the accounting work to where they can do what they're called to do, so you know that you got the checks and balances out, and you know what? They're going to look and say, at the end of the year, and say, gosh, I don't know how you do what you do, but I couldn't live without you because I'm able to focus on my work as you do my accounting. You know, there's so many great, amazing things of people that do. Could you imagine life without a janitor? Can you imagine life without nurses? Could you imagine life without, you know, the garbage people? You know, waste management, who picks up our garbage all the time. Could you imagine life without these people who do maybe a dirty job? But my goodness, can you imagine life without these people? What would we do without them? Because they hold some of the most highest powerful positions. If you think about it, they do the dirty work sometimes. And we never stop to really give them praise and say, thank you so much. Because what you do, you know, is so important. I couldn't do what I do because of what you, if you didn't do your job, and vice versa. So remember that. The fifth thing I would say, family relations, okay? Family and relations. Very important that you focus on family relationships. Build a structure where your family and your friendships are just fortified, where nothing can break them, where you're giving of yourself, you're giving of your time, your energy, your love, you're treating people in your family and friends with dignity, respect, and honor. You're loving on them, you're hugging on them, you're letting everyone in your life know how much you adore them and how you can be there for them. You can be Johnny on the spot, which basically means I can be there any moment you need me. I have friends like that. I have some of my close, dearest friends. You know, I have one of my dearest friends who's a landscaper, who is one of my best buddies. I have, you know, who always keeps a check on me. You know, I have my family, my sister. I have so many people in my life, my family as well, you know, my household, that always keeps a check on me and is there for me. And I love that because I'm guaranteed that there's going to be this fortified mentality of people who always love me and feed into me as I feed into them life. And so keep a balance of that piece of the pie on family and relationships. Don't let relationships, you know, go by the wayside. Don't burn bridges so easy. If there's one thing I could tell some people, especially someone in my family, don't burn bridges so easy. It's not worth it. One day you might come back and need that person. God could use that person to come back to bless you. But if you burn the bridge and tell them, you know where you can go today, get out of my face as we disagree, you know what? Then that person, it would be hard for God to actually deal with them to maybe bless you one day in your time of struggle, your time of famine, your time of need. So don't be so quick to burn bridges, folks. You never know sometimes. And if God says in the Bible, if he says, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, that means, you know what? I could even cause you to eat with your enemies. And guess what happens when you eat with your enemies? I guarantee after a while, those enemies you eat with, there's going to be some laughter. There's going to be some reconciliation. There's probably going to be some likeness there. Where at the end of the dinner table, you're going to say, you know what? They're not as bad as I thought. Because that's the kind of God we serve. A God who says, don't burn bridges so quickly. Love people. Doesn't mean you have to have everybody right underneath your nose, but you can keep them at a distance, but love them. But show them the honor, because everyone on planet Earth has a heart. I'll give you a great example. When I hear people in relationships, is sort of extension from that. When I hear people who, you know, make fun or talk bad about Hillary Clinton or maybe, you know, Trump or Sarah Palin or Obama or Bush, do I think all these people are good? Sure, they're all good. I love Obama. Oh my God, Jeremy loves Obama. Sure do. I love George Bush. Sure do. I love Bill Clinton. I love Ronald Reagan. Love them all. But here's the key thing. Do I agree with all of them? No. But you know what? I'm not going to sit here and post on my social media how Hillary Clinton's of the devil, or that she's got 666 on her, or she should go to prison, or Donald Trump lied about this. He should be burned to the stake, or, you know, this person did this. You know, the key thing is these are people's moms and dads. Could you imagine being their child and you see something on social media where somebody said that this woman could just burn in hell, or this guy should be set in prison for life? I mean, could you imagine? So, you know what? When people do that, I think to myself, you have no heart for humanity, because you don't stop to see the reality that this is someone's mother. This is someone's dad. Take that into account, folks. Because you know what? What if that was your parent and you happened to look on that? Could you imagine the devastation to think somebody could say that about your mom or your dad? So for me, I keep a lot of it to myself to say, you know what? I don't care for certain people, but I would never publicly bash them to destroy them. It's just not worth it. It's not who I am. I don't want to sow that seed to one day have it read back and have somebody plaster me on something and say, heretic, hater. You know, I'm not ready for that in my life. I don't know about you. Sixth thing, we got two more to go. Sixth thing, creativity. Whatever you do, feed into your creativity daily. Make sure every day you're challenging yourself to be creative. Think outside the box. Do something different. Find yourself today where something in you is creative. Toward the end of the night, you can say, I did something today that was creative that I've never done before. I did something today that I didn't do yesterday. And tomorrow, I'll do something new that I didn't do today. Find it in your heart where just something that is creative, always coming and flowing out of you daily. Never, ever stifle the power of your co-creatorship with God. Never stifle you being creative. If you say, well, and my job is nothing more than a routine every day, I'm going to tell you this, get another job. If your mind is not put to the test to be able to be challenged every day, to where you're using your creative ability within your family, within your life, within your job, within everything, then you know what? Exit out of that part of it and enter into a new lifestyle living, because you are destined and created. It is healthy for your brain to be creative and always think outside the box and do something different all the time than what you did yesterday, because that's what faith does. Faith says, you know what? I'm going to be able to do something. I don't know where it's going to lead me, what's going to happen out of it, but I'm going to challenge myself to do it today. That's blind faith. Have fun with that. Make it fun today. Be creative. The seventh thing, last but not least, is education. Always, always, always educate yourself. Very important you educate yourself daily. Make sure you are constantly reading a book. It's a known fact. Rich people read books. Rich people read books. Successful people read books. People that do stuff that are successful read books. People read books that are successful. It's just a known fact. And you might say, well, some of the most, you know, in fact, let me put it this way. Billionaires on earth, the majority of billionaires and the majority of multimillionaires, half of them didn't even graduate from college. We know that. Half of them dropped out of school, third, fourth, fifth grade, sixth grade, 12th grade, whatever, 11th grade. And you know what they do? Years later, they focus on their creativity. They think outside the box. Then those who comes up through the traditional ranks of maybe getting their diploma or their certificate or their college degree doesn't mean those people can't be creative, because a lot of them are. And we thank God for education. Thank God for people who discipline themselves to educate themselves. However, those who didn't, understand later on in life they need to be creative and think outside the box to be able to win the game of life. And what they do is they just start reading books by motivational speakers. People of science, they start, you know, they read books on science, they read books on the universe, they read books how things function, how things flow, and then they stick their creativity in it and they begin to bend the rules by creating their own rules. So I'm going to tell you this today. That's why I love writing books, because I love reading books. Reading, studying, watching successful documentaries, in other words, things that will feed into your spirit, educational things, great. Because you know what? SpongeBob is awesome, you know, for kids and some adults, but you don't learn from it. It's at the end of the day, you have dishonored yourself. Have fun with doing that kind of stuff. I'm all about fun, trust me. Anybody knows me knows I love movies. I love hanging out with my friends. I love going out with them. I love just doing this with my family. We have a blast. However, I have my entertainment time, and I also have my time of discipline where I'm loving to read, I'm loving to watch documentaries, and I love to be able to educate myself daily. At the end of the day, I say, what did I take home today? What did I learn today? What is it that was ingrained in me, embedded in me today, that I did not know yesterday? That's the beauty of life. So I want you guys to take these 7 points today, and remember, these are pieces of your pie. You need to be able to evaluate, reevaluate, and keep a check on yourself to where these 7 things are always the hottest item of your day. You're always saying, today I'm focusing on this, and I'm focused on that. And you might say, well, I can't focus on 7 things a day, Jeremy. Sure you can. You focus on thousands of thoughts that come to your mind a day, and a lot of them you entertain, right? So it's okay to. After a while, it becomes your norm. You get into a habit. You build a habit of really keeping these 7 points so aware in your consciousness. And when you do that, you begin to just live them out, and all of a sudden your lifestyle begins to just remind you throughout the day what you got to focus on. Hey, today I had to call my mom today. Bam, there's your relationship. Man, I need to find a new job. This one's not a good job for me. Bam, there's your new vocation. You know, I haven't been feeling good recently. I gotta back up on that sugar I've been taking. Bam, there's your health intake. Are you with me? So you can do it. You can do it. These are 7 points of your life that you cannot live without, folks. All right. So I want to thank every one of you for always tuning into my podcast. I know sometimes I get out there in them, but I just love having fun with you guys. I love to have fun with you guys. I love to be able to share these points that God's given me that can always help people and encourage people. If it helps me, you know what? I want to pass it along to you guys. And however it can fit into your world, that you can maybe recategorize it to fit your lifestyle, you know what? Hey, go for it. Don't be a cookie cutter after me. Create your own existence. You deserve that because you're a beautiful created being. You're a beautiful spirit God created you to be. So I wanted to tell you that. Don't forget today, sign up to be a member of the Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club. I'm up to my 54th book, and every month we have thousands of our books come out. One of my books have thousands of partners that we ship the books to, and you know what? They are moving in new places, getting new jobs. They're disciplining themselves. They're educating themselves, and they're moving up the corporate ladder of spiritual world, of spirituality, of their job, of their family. But most importantly, they're becoming better people. They're becoming better people to be lovers of God and people. So join today the Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club. You can find the information on identitynetwork.net, or you can call our office and my team will be more than happy to sign you up, or you can ask about it. They'll be more than happy to explain it to you as well. So you guys have a dynamic day, and don't forget, as always, here on Thoughts Become Things, create the world you want to live in. Create it and you'll have it. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.